2 Kings chapter number 2. We begin our reading, verse number 8. The Bible said, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too," Elijah and Elisha, "went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on." Aren't you glad they didn't stop right there? "They still went on. I'm afraid some of you might have hung up your revival suit Friday night. I'm not preaching yet. "And they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We sure do thank you for your goodness. God, I'm glad you're greater than anything or any adversity we would ever face. I'm glad nothing is impossible with thee. I'm glad you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Father, I'm glad you're on the throne today. God, as gracious and as good as you was Friday night, you're still as gracious and good this morning. God, we're thankful for the truth of thy word. We're thankful for your people. We're thankful for what you've done in our midst these days. Father, we know we are not deserving of your presence manifested in our midst. We're not worthy of the benefits that you daily load us with. We're not worthy of the blessings that you put on top of the benefits that you daily load us with. We're not worthy to even call upon your name. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the grace, the unmerited favor of God, Lord, you dump on us what we don't deserve. And Father, we bless you and we praise you and we thank you for your excellent greatness. No wonder the psalmist said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we ought to bless you and we ought to thank you for how good you've been. Father, thank you for what you've already done in our service today. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you for being a good God. Now we ask you to bless the reading of the Word of God. We pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd put a watch guard about my lips. Help me not to say anything contrary to the will or Word of God. But, Father, give me boldness and unction to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Father, I pray the message would not fall on deaf ears, but I pray your people would become doers of the Word of God. Father, I pray you'd help us. You'd elevate us to set in heavenly places. I pray if there's any amongst us today lost without God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God through cords of love would convict them and draw them to yourself. We'd see them birthed into the family of God. God, I pray for your people. Father, we love the saints of God. What a blessing to be accepted in the beloved. But Father, I pray that true revival break out. Oh, Father, we've gotten some glimpses. We've had some wonderful services. But Father, true revival still hadn't come. But Father, I'm longing for it. I'm looking for it. Father, I know you're able to send it. And Father, I pray even today we'd get closer to that true heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival that changes our community and then changes our country. Father, I know you're able. You said, call unto me. Now answer thee and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. Father, the best way I know how, I'm a-calling. Father, I'm looking for you to answer. Father, bless around here today. I pray for Holy Ghost conviction and I pray, oh God, you do something tremendous in our sight. Father, not that we'll get any credit, but that you'll be glorified and that folks will look to you and say, God did it again. Bless now, use this unworthy vessel. We'll bless you for it. For it's in the holy name, the wonderful name, the glorious name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. There's so much preaching in this chapter, we could never get it done in a month of Sundays. But I want to draw your attention to several things. We'll get to the message. I want you to notice, first of all, the persistence that is found in this chapter. Look in verse number 2. The Bible says this, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel." Look at verse 4. "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho." Look in verse number 6. "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." You know, Elisha wasn't a Baptist. Three times he was given an opportunity to sit down. He said three times the man of God, Elijah, said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I'm going on down to another place." And we find the persistence. He said, "No, man of God, I've seen so much God in you. Wherever you're going, I'm going too. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, you might as well get this straight. I'm hanging out with you from here on." What persistence. Can I help you understand what those three cities are pictures of? First of all, Bethel is always a picture of the house of God. Elisha said, "You go to the house of God, I'm a going." Mm-hmm. Can I say that Jericho is a picture of the valley? Uh-oh. No, we like him mountaintops. He said, "Even when you go to the valley, I'm going with you." Do you know what Jericho literally means? It literally means the place of fragrance. Can I help you? The valley, your flesh don't like it. Nobody likes it when you're in that low place. Nobody likes it when you're in that place where heaviness and darkness and distress and depression weigh you down. But I do remember Solomon said in chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon, he's the lily of the valleys. Even in the midst of your low places, you'll find God sweet to your soul. You'll find a fragrance from the glory world. You'll find exactly what you need to get you on to the next place. The next place is Jordan, and that's the place of victory. When they cross over Jordan, they got to victorious Christian living. And can I say, you just keep being persistent, victory's coming. Yeah, I promise you, God's going to answer and God's going to take care of everything in this life for the one to come. You just hang out with Him. There's persistence. You know who's got help in these 2 weeks of meetings? The folks that have been here. If you haven't been here, we can't even talk to you. You're in kindergarten, and we're in about second year of college. God has schooled us these 2 weeks. He's messed up a whole lot of theology these 2 weeks. He certainly has absolutely messed up some Baptists these weeks. Where's Gracie at? Gracie's daddy, Amos Niehaus. He's a good man of God. He's really conservative. He's kind of low-keyed. He's just a fella that's just a real blessing. But Friday night, he lost all his dignity, is all I'm going to say. I'm up here on a platform. Brother Daniel singing that song about blind Bartimaeus. Next thing I know, there was a flash went in front of me. I looked up. Amos's knees are going higher than his head. He's running laps around the building. God got too big for him. Say, well, that didn't happen to me. Probably because you wasn't here. And if you was here, you wasn't getting a hold of what God was doing. We see some persistence. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? The first sight of adversity, you crumble. Elisha told Elijah, he said, "Man of God, I'm hanging out with you. I'm going where you're going." Let me ask you a question. You ready to go on?
Amen.
Phil's ready to go on. Thank you, Phil. Me and you hang out, brother. We see the persistence. Notice, if you will, the power of God. Look at verse number 8. "And Elijah took his mantle." In this context of this scripture, the mantle is the picture of the power of God. Now, let me say, there was no power in the mantle. But what the mantle represented is where the power came from. And can I say something about this mantle? The power of God's available, friend. It don't matter where you're at, what you're going through, God's able to help you. But you've got to recognize that you need help. And the only place you can get help is from Him.
Right.
When it came to that mantle, and when it comes to the power of God, first of all, one has to pray for it. You have not because you ask not. Can I say this? You have to pursue it. Bible says, "Seek and ye shall find." If you came out this morning looking for Jesus, you're going to find Him. If you came out this morning because you felt obligated, you're going to go out just as empty as you came in. I cannot help you. If you came out this morning looking for a pat on the back or looking for acceptance among the people, I got news for you. If you're born again, you're accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
But if you came to make your flesh feel better, you're going to leave out disappointed.
Right, right.
But if you came seeking the Lord and His strength and His power, you're in a good place.
Amen.
Can I say something else? Not only do you pray for it and pursue it, but you have to permit it. In other words, you have to receive it. The Lord Jesus is willing to send revival. He's willing to save the lost. He's willing to change your life, but you've got to be willing to receive it. If I had a mason jar here with the lid on it, I could pour water in it all day long. It's going to go out empty. But if you take the lid off and you pour water, it's going to get full. I believe some of you come in this morning with your lid on. I can feel it. I'm getting some opposition in here. I'm not even preaching yet. I'm still in the introduction. Can I say something else about the power of God? You've got to protect it.
Amen.
Those that have been in the glory the last couple of weeks, guess what? Slewfoot's going to kind of try to come around and try to steal your glory, steal your thunder. It's going to try and rob you. The thief coming up but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try and take everything you've gotten away from you. Not because he cares about you. He don't give a flip about you. He just don't want you to affect somebody else. When you're shining for God, when you're full of God, all the people around you know that. And by the way, they also know when you aren't. Can I say, you got to protect it. And then you got to pass it on. The things of God's too big for us. We just got to share it with somebody else. We see the persistence. We see the power of God. Notice the promotion, verse number 11. "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." I've heard preachers after preachers preach on this as a picture of the rapture. No, it isn't. I mean, if it's a picture of rapture, they both would have went. God's not leaving in His youngins when He comes for them. I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless the Lord. Listen, I've done read the back of the book. I understand that the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. It's bad right now. It's nothing compared to what it's going to be. And I'm glad, hallelujah, I'll be in glory. I can't hardly take any more now. I've quit watching any news, any social news, any media. I've quit watching it. It was affecting my spirit. It was getting me all jacked up for things that were out of my control. You know where I focused my attention? On Him. I've had a whole lot better time, and the news is a whole lot sweeter, and he's not lying to me. He's not giving me talking points. He's giving me eternal truths that is affecting my life. What can I say? Elijah being translated the way that he did was a promotion. You see, he was caught up in a blaze of glory. And he was elevated to planes that no one else had seen. Now listen, it was no secret that God was going to do this for him. The sons of the prophets knew it, and Elisha knew it. Three times he told him, he said, I got to go down here before the Lord takes me away. Huh? And he got promoted. Some of you got promoted to a little higher level in the last couple of weeks. Huh? Now you haven't arrived yet, but you've been around the glory a little bit. You've been put on a little bit of fire. Are you listening? You've been promoted. I've tried to explain it to you. I read a book on revival that was done in the 1800s by a fellow who experienced it. And I've read many books on revivals throughout the years. And what I have found in revival, we can't just take it all in when God dumps it out. If God dumped real revival on this place even this morning, we'd melt in His presence. But what God does is He gives it to us as we can handle it. And when we get that part down, He elevates us or promotes us to another level. And then He'll dump some more on. And then He promotes us. See, revival comes through in waves. And hey, what a joy to ride the wave to the next level. And He just keeps promoting, keeps showing, keeps doing more and more things to lift us and elevate us to places we've never been. Now listen, we had a meeting. Felt led to take a week off. Had another meeting. I announced Friday night. God told me on Tuesday not to let it die. We're going back into meeting Friday night. You say, what are you doing? I'm just trying to get a little higher. I'm trying to go to the next place. Here's the good thing about God. God's no respecter of person. Brother Donald, if you hadn't got in on it yet, He's going to give you another opportunity. And He's wanting to take you higher. And that's the way God does. God wants to lift all His youngins to places where they've never been. I got a sign in my office. I've had it hanging there since the old building. I found a picture of some sheep just on a mountaintop where everything's snow, but there's a little patch of grass and them sheep are eating. Says the task of a leader is to take his followers to where they have not been. Say, why are we having all these meetings? I'm wanting you to get a little higher.
Hey, yeah. Amen, Pastor.
We see the promotion. But I want you to notice the passive. Verse 7. I want some of you to pay real close attention right here. Because you can write your name right next to this. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. Here it is. And stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. They didn't get down to where the victory was, Brother Doug. They stood afar off. And some of you have heard we've had meeting, but you haven't been here. You've been afar off. You're being passive. I got news for you. God's had everything you need, and you've offered up every excuse why you can't be where God wants you to be, and you're far off, and you've missed it. I'm going to quote Gomer Pyle. This is real spiritual. Shame, shame, shame.
Yeah. Amen, Pastor. You're right.
Everything you needed, God's been supplying, and you haven't been here to get it. You know what them 50 sons could have done? They could have been right there with Elijah. They could have got what Elisha got. You know why they didn't? They were passive. They all had a reason. Oh, you got a reason. Shame. Shame, shame.
Yep.
And then notice the portion in verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Can I say Elisha wanted double what Elijah had? Elijah is a great man of God. Elijah prayed fire down from heaven. Elijah slew 850 prophets of the devil. There were 400 prophets of the grove and 450 prophets of the devil, of Baal. He slew them all. He's the one that prayed for rain to stop, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He's the one for it to pray to rain again, and God sent an abundance of rain. You say, what are you talking about? Elijah was a man of God. Elisha said, I see how God's on you. I want a double portion of what you got. He said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken out, he said, it shall be done. Listen, you go study Elisha's life. He did twice the miracles Elijah did. Why? He got what he asked for. He wanted a double portion. He said, I want all that God's got for me. Here's what I want to preach on this morning. How much do you want? How much do you want? Hey, Brother Donald, how much do you want, son? He's got a bounty for. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns it all. God is almighty. He has all power. How much you want? How much you want? Let me ask you this. How much of a revival do you want? Now, some of you have already checked out. I understand that. Just out of my way. I'm not satisfied yet, Miss Cinda. Well, I've enjoyed all of it. But I want to see it. Yeah, your son's not here. I want to see how good God is. I want to see how much He can do. How much of revival do you want? Listen, how much do you want to see His presence manifested? If you can see God around here this week, you don't know Him. That's all I'm going to say. I've seen Him move. I've seen Him touch. I've seen Him bless. How much of His presence do you really want? I thought about this. How much of His passion do you want to see demonstrated? He just, Brother James, fell on us and loved on us. I want to see how much love God's got. How much peace do you want to see Him distribute? I'm telling you, there have been folks that were troubled, but they got peace in their soul. How much revival do you want? Thought about this. How much do you want? How much do you want to see God redeeming sinners? We've had 10 people saved. Everywhere from the age of 8 to Miss Debbie and her plus 39. Can I help you? So I never get tired of seeing God save people. There's just something about when God starts saving folks. When folks you didn't have to coerce. Folks you didn't have to plead and beg. God was just a moving that night. Miss Debbie came. I don't even know if He's giving an invitation. God was just a moving. She come and grabbed me. She said, "Preacher." She said, "I don't think I'm saved. The church I came from, all they's interested in was money." I called for Miss Annette. She dealt with Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie's tears of concern and confusion turned into a smile and joy and peace. And she said, "I got saved. Hallelujah. I've never gotten tired of being seeing people saved." Colton sitting on that back row that Monday night. Come. And he was a running. Running. Got gloriously saved. Little Joseph right here. I seen him raise his hand. He was lost, standing right there. And hey, all he had to do was drop, and he dropped. He went down, this 8-year-old boy, with the weight of the world on him. But he come up saved, and he hadn't stopped hugging people since. Hallelujah. Seen Kenzie back in January sitting in that second pew under conviction so bad, just a weeping. But you see, I couldn't do it for her. And I've seen her in services since then, just troubled. On the way out, she'd always just kind of reach a hand to me and keep on walking. Oh, that Monday night. She got in that altar. Miss Nett dealt with her. She just had a hard time believing that it was that easy to be saved. And she got saved. I watch her sing in the choir. It's a whole different person. Hey, now on the way out, she grabs me and hugs me. I'm telling you, when God saves people, He changes them. I hadn't got over that.
Amen.
There's been others gotten saved. I hadn't got tired. How much do you want? Let me ask you a question. Anybody still got lost people in your family or neighbors or work over? Well, how much do you want?
Amen.
Hey, if God saved them, God can save you. He can save your loved ones. How much do you want? Can I help something? I'm not tired of seeing restoring prodigals. Stand up, bub. Just stand up. If you hadn't seen what that boy got... Let me help you something. He was a prodigal's of prodigals. Huh? Hey, it'd been 30 years since he'd been in church regularly and faithfully. I mean, he was way out in the far country. But where's Fred? Stand up, Fred. Fred got a burden for his uncle. Weeping. Come and say, will you call him and invite him? Hey! God heard those tears and that concerns that little boy. And hey, Bob got in. Hallelujah. I ain't got tired of seeing that. I know some of you got wayward children, wayward loved ones. It's been a long time. But if God can get him, God can get them. Hey, how much do you want? I'm not tired of it. How much you want? How much rejoicing do you want to experience? I'm telling you, I was talking to Sidney Weaver on Thursday. He said, "Preacher, I don't know how to say this, but say I feel like I'm walking on air." I said, "I know what you mean." I said, "I'm just giddy all the time." I know I still got burdens and weights, but they don't have me. Are you listening? God's been good. I just can't wait to get back and see what He's going to do next. He's so good. Now you can sit at home and watch CNN and Fox News, and you can put all your faith in Dr. Fauci. By the way, he's wicked from hell. You're welcome. I hope he's watching. Get born again. I met with my cancer surgeon. By the way, I'm still cancer free. Bless the Lord. Met with him on Wednesday. He sounded like a Baptist preacher talking about all this COVID junk. Hey, but he said this. I hadn't got over this, Phil. He said it's the first time in history where politics and science have met. I told y'all back in March, it's all political. This is a brilliant surgeon I met with. He's in charge of an entire department at Cincinnati Hospital and at UC, and he teaches it. This guy's a brilliant man. And this is what he said. He said, "How many people have you known to die of the flu?" And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody's ever died of the flu. He said, "It's a given. Every year, 60,000 people are going to die of the flu." He said, "They come up with a vaccine every year in hopes that they can save another 60,000. Without a vaccine, 120,000 people are going to die." He said, "There's no vaccine for COVID. 120,000 people die." He said, "And the vast majority are elderly that a common cold would have killed them." They can't fight it off. Their immune system's compromised. He said there are other people who get it, but they don't die from it. He said there's no reason to shut down a nation for this virus.
Amen.
Just a virus.
Yep.
He said, and there are people who are developing antibodies to it, and it wouldn't affect them anyway. I mean, this is my surgeon telling me that.
Amen.
He said, them masks, wearing a mask, he said, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Amen.
He said, in New York City, they live in high rises with the same HVAC system, and they keep pumping the same air, and sick people's giving it to people that aren't sick. No wonder they had so many outbreaks up there. But all you're hearing is about how many is getting it. But you know what they're not telling you? The death rate's getting lower and lower and lower because they know how to treat it.
Amen.
They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that. You know who never lied to you? The Lord. So you can sit and worry about COVID all you want to. But can I help you? There's always a COVID. There's always a cancer. For the wages of sin is death. When Adam chose to sin, death came in this world. Death's on your trail, friend. It don't matter what instrument it takes. Your flesh is going to die. What matters is if you've been born again, that you have everlasting life. Hey! I'm not worried about COVID. You want to know what I'm fearful of? I'm going to have to stand before Christ someday. I need revival. I'm going to stand before Christ someday. How much do you want? How much revelation do you want? We prayed. Where's Elf? Where you at, Elf? You moved on me. Elf, how long have we prayed for unusual things? I've heard you pray for it. I prayed. I don't want the usual. The usual isn't working. I look at most churches, most people go to church, what they have, I don't want it. Why do you think all these guys that have been coming, they come in and it's like an oasis, because where they've been, it's dead. I don't want the usual. I want the unusual. Brother John preached on it Thursday night. I want that new thing. I want that thing I've never seen. Boy, Brother Bob, I've seen some things the last few weeks I haven't seen. I've only been saved 46 plus years, and I've seen some things I've never seen, and I like it. I like it when God just reveals Himself in ways that just scrambles our brains.
Amen.
I like it. How much do you want? Or have you had enough? Let me just say, some have missed out. Verse 7, they're standing afar off. Can I say? Some have been in the services and missed out. Some have just been absent and you missed out. Will somebody explain to me what part of the Bible's true and what part of the Bible's not true? Well, I like John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I preach on that. But is Hebrews 10 still in the Bible? Does it still say that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together so much more as we see the day approaching? Is that still in the book? Is it still true? So if you're not assembling when the church is called to assemble, aren't you making yourself God? Say, but Brother Doug, you don't understand. It ain't about what I understand. It's about what he understands. Did He not carry your sin debt to Calvary?
Right.
Did He not shed His blood for you?
Amen.
Did He not unconditionally love you and save you?
Sure.
But now you tell Him that you know better than Him?
Yeah.
Now listen, I know when you're providentially hindered.
Yeah.
I know if you're in a hospital, you can't come to church. Duh. I know if you have to work, not that you choose to work, if you have to work, God understands that. But you're without excuse. Stand up, Clint. 2 weeks of revival. He worked second shift. He took off. He tried to get it all off. There was one day each week they wouldn't give him off. He took off. He lost money, good money. He makes a lot of money. He's a smart guy. And I got good news if you're single. He don't spend it. He's got a lot of money. Brother Eddie went and bought himself new furniture so he'd give his other furniture to Clint because he's tired of looking at furniture that came out of the 1800s and came over on a covered wagon because he don't spend money. So ladies, he's eligible, huh? Help a poor boy out. You see, he wanted to be here and not miss what God was doing more than he wanted a paycheck. Brother Doug broke the speed barrier to get here Tuesday or Monday night. I mean, how you got here in that kind of time, I don't know. And I mean, he drove hours, hundreds of miles, so he wouldn't miss. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? See, you can offer up your little excuse, but... Or you can get into what God wants you to get. Reason you're miserable, reason your prayer life don't reach your ceiling, reason why you don't have any desire to read the Word of God, and when you do, you don't understand anything, the reason you have no hope, the reason you have no joy, the reason you have no victory, reason why your family don't even like to be around you because you're negative all the time is you aren't being faithful.
Amen.
You're welcome. It is good preaching, whether I'm doing it or not. It's true. Some missed out. Some of you sat here and missed out. I can't even get off this point, but some of you did. Some of you sitting here, you got a root of bitterness in your heart towards somebody. And others are rejoicing and you're just sitting there. Some of you got unforgiveness in your heart. Somebody did me wrong. Well, you did Jesus wrong. He forgave you. Here's the danger, Brother Bob. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart and somebody comes, tries to make it right, and you don't forgive unconditionally, then Jesus won't forgive you the next time you need to call on Him. If I've done you wrong and I come to you and I say, Brother Bob, I'm sorry I've done you wrong. Forgive me. And if you've got to consider whether or not you are, how many times have you went to Jesus and said, I failed you, God, would you forgive me? He never once says, well, let me think about it. No, He says, forgiven. Some of you missed out because you got bitterness. Some of you unforgiveness. Some of you missed out because you got pride. You wouldn't admit you're wrong. Some of you got a little pride right now. You're trying to justify why this point's hitting you so hard. Have you had enough? Some missed out. Some had no movement. I don't know. I mean, there was only dynamite going off everywhere around here. Some didn't move. I don't know. I mean, he got so big on this platform a couple times I had to leave my chair and go over there and get out of the way. I just don't understand how you can be in the presence of God, Brother James, like we were, and it not move you. Huh? Those that had no movement showed no brokenness. I'm going to tell you something. When God walks by, He shows you how unworthy you really are, and it breaks your heart. He says, I'm saved. Yeah, I am too. He walked by and I realized how unworthy I am that for Him to walk by. It'll break your heart. And yet I try not to focus in on people, but I saw people throughout the week, no brokenness. He was here. What happened to you? Can I say this? They showed no burden for others. Listen. I love it when somebody that I know gets right, but I love it when somebody you know gets right. And when you come and you got a burden, it breaks my heart. Listen, several of these little children have come to me and said, Preacher, pray for my mama, pray for my daddy, pray for my cousin, pray for this. That ought to break your heart. Little Caleb's envelope over here ought to break your heart. Had mamas stand up and say, pray for my son, pray for my children. That'll break your heart. And when your heart didn't get burdened for some of these requests, That shows your heart's very cold. Can I say this? Some saw no benefit of the meeting. Well, friend, if that's really your heart, you're so far from God, or you don't know God. That's the only thing I know. How good God was around here, Lord have mercy. Some missed out. Some had no movement. Have you had enough? Some experienced no modifications. There was no change or altering in their life. There was no change in their walk. No change in their prayer life, their study life, no meditating on Christ, no change in their walk. You're conducting yourself exactly the same way you did before the meeting started. Brother Clint, if they'd got plugged into that Tozer book, they've already laid it aside. There's no change. There's no change in their witness. They're not any more interested in people getting saved than they was for the meeting. You know what blessed my heart? We had that impromptu visitation Friday morning. Had 35 come out, 15 children. But we had 5 folks come out that had never come out on visitation. You know why? There was an altercation in their life. There was some modification. They realized people are dying and going to hell, and I can have a little part in maybe them getting saved. There's some. Don't tell me you care about souls if you're not willing to hand somebody a tract. You're not willing to pray for somebody. You're not willing to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't care about souls. You're selfish. Some experience no change in their ways. Your behavior.
Yeah.
See, when you truly have revival, it affects the way you talk.
Sure.
There used to be some things you'd jest and act a fool over. You think about that and say, man, maybe I'm not going to say stuff like that. There's some music you used to listen to. Now you don't want to listen to that kind of music anymore.
Amen.
Now you want to wear out them Daniel Waters CDs.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't know how many times the preachers had to say something about your social media, but yet you still are dwelling on that Facebook instead of having your face in the book. Now, don't get all upset. Here's where they can lose the rest of them. There's blessing and cursing and everything. I know there's good stuff on there, but most of you don't dwell in the good stuff. You know how I can tell? Because there's no brokenness and no burden in your life. If you're on there listening to preaching, it'll make a change in your life. If you're on there listening to stuff that's bringing glory to God, it'll make a change in your life. But if you're on there being nosy about when somebody goes to the bathroom or not, you got problems.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And the vast majority of folks that are on there is being nosy. Yep. The Bible has a lot to say about being a busybody.
Come on now.
Amen.
So the question is, how much do you want? Or have you had enough? I hadn't had enough.
Amen.
I'm already praying about August. But this morning I booked a meeting for September. Because I'm not going to let it die. Now whether or not you let it die in your heart's up to you. Elijah asked for a hard thing. He wanted a double portion. And he got it. How much do you want? The unlimited God gave me a message and wanted me to ask you, how much do you want from Him? Say, well, that's a hard thing. Not for God. Is anything too hard for God? Nope. He's just waiting for you to be ready to receive it.
Amen.
How much do you want? Or have you had enough? My prayer is, you want more. And if you hadn't got in on it, my prayer is you get in on it. My prayer is that whatever it is that hinders you, you say, I'm going to give it to Jesus. Jesus, you know what it is that hinders me. It's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. Will you please take it from my life? I want so much that it scares me. I want all the false churches shut down in Florence. I want all the beer joints shut down in Florence. I want the epidemic of heroin to be run out of Florence. I want every sinner to be saved in Florence. I want God to show up so big in Florence it starts moving to Union, to Burlington, to Hebron, to Cincinnati, to Lexington, to Louisville. How much do you want? Friend, I want so much it scares me. Scares me. But I'm still wanting it. I want to see how great He really can be. How much do you want? Let's all stand. Miss Lindsay, just come play something on the piano. While she's coming, these folks are in the altar. I think they want some more. How much do you want? Do you want enough to get out of your pew and come and ask God for it? Because, friend, if it can't get you out of the pew, I wouldn't say whatever you got isn't much. But I want something. Do you have lost people in your family? Do you have prodigals in your family? Do you know people out of the will of God? Don't you want enough of God that maybe God would use you to impact their lives? She's playing. Folks are praying. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, Elisha asked a hard thing, but it wasn't too hard for you. And God, the psalmist said that you'd give us the desires of our heart. God, help what's in our heart to line up with what's in your heart. God, we ask you'd speak to hearts now. Thank you for these in the altar that want more. They're not satisfied. Most dangerous place for a Christian to ever be is to get satisfied. That's what happened over there in Revelation 3, that church of Laodicea. They just sat down on you. That's what's going on in a lot of our churches today. Folks have just sat down on you. Help us to desire more of you. Help us to see you do more. More people get saved. More prodigals come home. More revival break out. Greater portions from you. God, help us to not sit on the sidelines like those 50 sons of the prophet. Help us, Lord, to have more. Now, God, I'm praying for the sweet Holy Ghost of God to fall in this place right now during this invitation. Break the hearts that are cold. Draw the ones that are listless. Lord, those that are unconcerned, burden their hearts. And God, I certainly pray if there's anybody lost, I know it was a salvation message, but God, we know the Holy Ghost could do things we can't even imagine. We pray if there's anybody lost, the sweet Holy Spirit of God would convict them and save them. God, have your way now in this invitation. Don't let the devil divide or distract. Lord, bind him in the powers of hell right now. And God, get glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, head on over to ibcflorence.com and click on sermons. And don't forget to check out our other links in the notes section of today's broadcast. As always, thanks for listening.